And welcome back to Out Chicago. Scott Duff here, along with Ellen Miller, rolling along.
Yes, we are.
There we are from one doctor.
From Dr.
Victor von Frankenstein. Just real doctors
real
over
doctors.
Here.
You know,
so this week, the College of American Pathologists are meeting in Chicago to discuss the Chicago American Pathologists' ongoing commitment to eliminate health disparities in medicine for the LGBTQI community. And joining us now is the president of the College of American Pathologists, Dr. Karcher. Doctor, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you.
Very happy to be here.
And thank you for taking time out. I know you have a very busy schedule going on right now. Can you briefly tell our listeners a little bit more about the College of American Pathologists?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So, first of all, who are pathologists? We're the doctors, we're the physicians who make diagnoses and also make sure that laboratory testing for all patients is accurate and timely. So the College of American Pathologists is the largest organization of pathologists in the world, actually. And so, as you mentioned, we're here in Chicago having our annual meeting as we speak.
Yeah, so not light work is basically what you do.
Nope. Not light work. We think it's very important for patients.
Yeah. So I know right now one of the things, the symposiums is there, that's probably the wrong word for it, but is Breaking Barriers in Pathology, Advancing Healthcare Equity for Transgender and LGBTQI Communities. What are the topics that are on the table for that?
Yeah, well, we think this is very, very important. And we've been at this work actually for some years now. And what we want to do is to make sure, first of all, that members of the LGBTQIA community get the best possible care and also feel welcomed into the healthcare system to make sure that they are receiving the care that they need.
What do you think are the major challenges that they face right now, Doctor?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm very happy to say that the whole healthcare system and the healthcare community is better informed than ever about, you know, properly caring for patients, including transgender patients. This has taken a while to get to this point. I'm very happy and confident that the healthcare community is much better informed. So the first issue that we would love to help address is making transgender patients, as an example, feel more welcome into receiving care in the healthcare community.
Okay, so and how? How do you go about doing that?
Well. First of all, you know, reassuring transgender patients, as an example, that they are much more likely today than ever to have a healthcare provider who is very knowledgeable about their needs, very knowledgeable about their healthcare needs in particular. And by the way, I think I should mention this is really personal to me. I have a transgender grandson. And so this is something that I have been more knowledgeable of perhaps than some of my colleagues for longer.
Yeah.
So this is something that I take very personally.
You know, I notice when I go, you know, to a doctor or anything medical that the questionnaires have changed to not just ask questions that are typical heterosexual questions about who you are. And I attribute that to where I live here in Chicago. I'm wondering, is the challenge greater in small towns throughout the South, for example, or places that aren't as welcoming to the LGBTQ community? And is that where you have to focus some of your efforts, more efforts there than perhaps in cities like Chicago?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. And we're sure that there are areas in the country where this evolution has not, you know, fully... We haven't fully realized the results that we want. But I would say even in some of the areas of the country where one might think this is really not done, it's increasingly taking place everywhere in the country. And, you know, we're very proud of that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like, you know, with when you have pathologists and other doctors that are working with them, I think it's probably within their ethos to move forward to be, you know, all right, so – Your gender, male or female, okay, what's your sex, you know, male, female, like asking those questions.
Yep.
And just coming up against the other concerns are kind of, I guess, would be more political constraints, you know, when it comes to providing health care. There are several bans. I think Nebraska just went into one where it is anyone under the age of 18 can, any trans minor, actually under the age of 19, even 18-year-olds, are not able to receive any sort of gender-affirming care, whether that be, you know, hormones or whatever. Are you finding, is there a frustration within the college, or how are people reacting to the public policies that might inhibit the work that you do?
Yeah, well, you know, yes, of course, we're frustrated. Yeah. And there are parts of the country where this is more of a, as you say, a political issue than in other parts of the country. Now, in healthcare, we try to remain completely apolitical. But,
right.
You know, it's a fact of life where pathologists and other physicians are practicing. Those folks must be aware of whatever the legal constraints are in the jurisdiction where they practice. But, you know, what we are teaching pathologists and the word that we're getting out to other physicians is that, you know, ultimately it's the best possible care for the patient. And the politics can be dealt with in other ways. We want to make sure that we are providing the best possible care for that patient.
Goes back to do no harm, you know, the very basics right there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I don't want to put you on the spot, and if you don't know the answer to this, oh my gosh, and it just went out of my head right there. When it comes to...
I'll do my best.
I'm sorry. But are there any myths that we can dispel about when it comes to the specific health... Like, when you talk about the specific health care that, for example, the transgender community needs, are there, you know... What are those specifics? Just that are just like these. This is the basic care that people need.
Well, that's a great question, and of course, transgender people need the same care as everyone needs. We all have health issues and health needs. One of the really important issues when it comes to particularly the transgender community is that the pathologist or the laboratory that is receiving a specimen, a laboratory specimen of some type, blood specimen or other specimen, or even a biopsy, it's very important that the pathologist in the laboratory knows the birth gender of that patient and also whether or not that patient has received gender-affirming therapy, because all laboratory tests have normal ranges. We refer to those as reference ranges. Mm-hmm. And those ranges can differ based on the birth gender of a person or whether or not they've received gender-affirming therapy. So for us to be able to interpret that result correctly and to make sure that we know, is it truly normal or abnormal, it's incredibly important that we have that information. Also, it's very important for all providers caring for that person to also have that information, because when we send a result back to that provider, they also need to know that we are interpreting it in the context of that information that we have gotten from that patient. That's why it's very important for instance, transgender persons to not feel inhibited in any way of revealing their birth gender and whether or not they've received gender-affirming therapy, because that's essential. We have to know that information in order to provide the best possible care.
Yeah, and that's like with care that's just like universal care, not specifically for talking about, you know, a gender-affirming care. Right?
Absolutely.
Just general
health. Many laboratory tests, sorry about interrupting, but many laboratory tests unrelated in any way to what you might think have different reference ranges depending on the birth gender of that person or whether or not they've received any gender-affirming therapy. So it may not even be a test that you would think has anything to do with gender. Yet there are differences biologically between people who are born female, their birth gender is female versus birth gender of male. So that's why that information is important for all care, not just care related in any way to gender affirmation, for instance.
Yeah, I never even really thought about that, you know, because like,
there's different markers for male born and female born.
Well, and it's like whenever you go to go to a doctor, you know, and you have like blood drawn or whatever it is, and they get sent off to the lab, as they always say. Well, now we're talking to the people who are actually dealing with that, right there with the pathologists.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
So what other issues are you discussing during your time with the whole proceedings that are going on in Chicago right now?
Yeah. Yeah, well, another important area is to make sure that, you know, we are advocating and that we are facilitating that, for instance, transgender patients receive the correct tests, that the other healthcare providers that are providing care for those folks are making sure that they're ordering the right tests, that we know that the correct tests are being done, and that way we can then interpret them correctly to make sure that that person gets the best care.
Amazing. You know, as I was driving in today, I was thinking about, you know, a lot of my friends have trans kids. Their kids have come out as
yep.
trans.
Yep.
And I know, and then legislation is being, you know, going across the country in weird places like Nebraska and then, of course, in the South, where they are making gender-affirming care for youth illegal. Do we, I know one of the major forms of therapies or one of the, there are many different therapies, but one of them is like a hormone blocker. Can you explain how that works? And I know that's still relative, and I might be incorrect here because I am not a doctor, but it seems like it's a relatively new therapies. Can you tell a little bit about the history of that?
Yeah, well, you know, therapy dealing with hormones, dealing with gender-related hormones, not necessarily new, although maybe used now in new ways that perhaps a few years ago they were not used.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are a variety of different treatments that can impact how hormones are expressed, you know, what impact the hormones might have on other parts of the body, and so, you know, the use of those therapies, which, as you pointed out, now is illegal in certain jurisdictions, these are things that we in the healthcare community and certainly in the pathology community and laboratory community have been used to for many years. We've been used to interpreting tests in patients that have had those therapies maybe for other reasons.
Okay.
So it's not new for us.
Okay.
How often do you encounter resistance from the medical profession on this advocating for the LGBTQ community?
Yeah, so I'm very happy to say 5 or 10 years ago, probably we would have encountered some resistance. Today, almost never.
Great.
I think the healthcare community has come a long way. Not that we don't have a long way to go yet.
Yeah.
And as you pointed out earlier, you know, maybe in certain parts of the country, mm-hmm. we have a little more work to do there.
Mm-hmm.
But very happy and proud to say that, you know, there's not the resistance that might have happened maybe 5 or 10 years ago.
I was hoping that was going to be your answer.
Oh, yeah.
Good to hear that.
Like I said, earlier, you know, I think the whole healthcare community and healthcare system has now been better educated on the needs of patients like such as transgender people.
And now if we could educate the rest of the world.
Yeah, well, we'll help. But that's maybe more for folks like you to help educate the rest of the rest of our country.
We try.
As to the special needs and, you know, the absolute essential things that people such as trans people need.
Amen to that. Yeah, thank you.
That's what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. So what do you hope that the main focus is, the end, that folks who are attending this whole Breaking Barriers in Pathology moment, what do you hope that they're all taking away and taking back across the country?
Well, what we hope that they will do is take back to their communities where they practice, to their laboratories. And, you know, not all of the pathologists in a pathology group are here at our meeting. We're hoping that the folks that are here will take back to their groups of pathologists, you know, here's what I learned, here's why this is really important. We need to make sure that we, A, have the right information, that, B, we're interpreting tests correctly, that we are giving our fellow clinicians, other physicians, the right information to care for this particular patient. So the hope is that what we are all learning here, we will bring to our colleagues and to the communities where we practice.
Yeah, you know, there's something just so refreshing to be like speaking with people who work in a field where the, it's compiled about data. Like, here are the facts. This is what's happening with this specific person. This is what's going on. And now how do we take these data and make them, applicable to the best healthcare for the individual? And I just want to thank you for doing that, for prioritizing people who had been marginalized.
Well, I've been happy to be helpful. And maybe the message I'll leave you with is to encourage the trans community, keep going to the doctor. Please get the care you need. And now you're going to be receiving better care than ever.
That's beautiful. That's really important.
Dr. Donald Karcher, president of the College of American Pathologists, thank you so very much again for taking time out today to join us while you're in the middle of a busy conference. And thank you for all the work that you continue to do.
Keep doing the great work. I know you will.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks, Ellen. It's been a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy conferencing.
Bye-bye. Bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
We have got to take a quick break, and when we come back, it is the final thrilling show-stopping moments about Chicago right here on WCPT.